Amen, church. Well, it's good to be together today, and I'm grateful that all of us can, even though we're not together physically, we can be together virtually and be connected spiritually. It's amazing to be together as the church. My name is Jordan Massey. I'm one of the ministers or evangelists here, and today we're going to continue on with our sermon series on fixing our eyes on Jesus, because more than ever before, we need to stay rooted in Jesus Christ. And our mini-series we're doing on that is Simplicity During Uncertainty. Kids, if you're figuring out the bingo cards, you can grab onto that one right there. But during all the uncertainty of the world, man, it's simple. Instead of letting the news and all the other kind of distractions come in and weigh on us, let's keep a simple faith in Jesus Christ. But before we jump into everything, well, we are going to be in John chapter 11, so you can go in and grab your Bibles from the other room or turn on your Bibles. We'll be going through this together. I want to give a little update from the Massey household. You know, LaToya, Cam, and I are in our two-bed, two-bath apartment, and Cam's 17 months old, and we've been quarantined for a couple weeks now, like most of us. And, you know, I wanted to show you a little view from my life the last couple weeks. So in the morning, I wake up, and here's the view from my morning quiet time. And then I go into the office, and this is the view from the office. And then after that, man, I come home for an amazing date night going out, and that's the view from date nights. And then on the weekend, I can't look forward to all the fun and the excitement of the weekend, and then this is the view from the weekend. I think all of us are trying to figure this out and figure out what is it like to be quarantined in our faith. And on a more real note, we've had so much more time together as a family. LaToya and I have been able to have so many deep talks and so many just real conversations about how all this is affecting us. And we're reading through Sacred Marriage together. That's been really meaningful. And then Cam and I, guys, honestly, I'm sure like most of us, I already have a love-hate relationship for being trapped. I mean, getting to be with my son for 24/7. And I mean, it's real, but man, I just pray for my selflessness, that I'm not just constantly on my iPad or watching TV, that I can give him emotional attention and priority. But it's also been a blast. I mean, I love my son. We've been able to go on daily walks, you know, down the woods in behind my house. We had our first family devotional. That was a really special time. And it's just really meaningful for us to be together so much more. But it can be a strain, I'm sure, like most of us are feeling. But let's jump into John chapter 11. So we're going to pick up in halfway through the chapter. I'd encourage you to go read the first half of the chapter. But what's going on is that we're going to be looking at Lazarus here. And Jesus is with his disciples in another town. And then Mary and Martha, who are friends of Jesus, they're believers of Jesus, they follow Christ. And they send a letter to Jesus saying, hey, our brother Lazarus is sick. Can you come heal him? But Jesus delays coming. And by the time he comes, Lazarus is already dead. And that's what we're going to pick up in verse 17. So John 11, 17 says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Now, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. And I want just to make sure we realize what just happens, that Martha went to go see Jesus, but Mary stayed back. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. But we'll keep going. We're actually going to go through a big chunk of scripture here together. I think more than ever, we need to feast in God's word and root ourselves in God's word. So we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture today. If we continue on in John 11, so Martha came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, man, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus says something so profound, that I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Man, I just love this. In the midst of a terrible tragedy of her brother just dying, Martha comes to Jesus and receives hope. that he's going to be raised again. That she comes to Jesus in devastation and yet is able to find a glimpse, like a light at the end of the tunnel, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. What an incredible, incredible thing. And I think this is so real for us, and we need it so much now more than ever. I know in our household, we've been talking a lot about the fears of this tragedy with the coronavirus. And we've been talking a lot of how all the different fears that we can feel can so often boil down to one single fear, and that is the fear of death. And yet Jesus here just throws, that's not an honest, real fear that we want to downplay, but he says, but look, there's something better even after death. There's a resurrection. There's a life. There's a hope that's all found in Christ. And I'm reminded of this passage in Hebrews chapter 2. And it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who for all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. And see, there's something, there's an opportunity, there's something so powerful in Christ that we don't have to have a fear of death anymore. And so Toy and I are actually going to do this lesson together, except she's at home with Cam right now. And so we're about to see a recording of Toya talking about how this passage hits her.
Good morning, family. It's good to be together virtually for me to be able to share with you some of the things that I've been learning and wrestling with during this time. Jordan just read Hebrews chapter 2, and it mentions how Jesus died so that we could be freed from the fear of death. And I wish I could come to you from a place of sharing victory in that mindset, but that wouldn't be true. This time during this pandemic and the quarantine has actually been really, really difficult for me emotionally and mentally. I am naturally a fearful person, naturally an anxious person. And so all these numbers and facts and all this information flying around has really been hard for me to process. I've had to really learn how to wrestle with it, to the point where one day I found myself having what felt like a mild anxiety attack, where my heart rate changed, my breathing changed, I felt off, and it gradually got worse and worse. And the next day, it hit me that Satan is using this time to increase my fear. And I have to get on the offense and fight with weapons of divine power. And one of those things that's been really helpful to me is reading through the book of Psalms. I've been reading through the Psalms, and the Psalms are templates of prayers where they are full of honesty and uncertainty, waiting. And I've been able to take those as examples in my own prayer time and pray more candidly to God, be more honest with God, and spend more time wrestling with how I really feel and the worries that I really am wrestling with. And I recently heard someone say that worrying is trying to meet the needs of tomorrow on the provisions of today. And Jesus's teachings has always been, do not worry about tomorrow. Take it a day at a time. And I think trusting God for today's provisions is all we can do. What's most humbling about that is that has been true way before this virus happened. I have been fragile way before this virus happened. I haven't been in control of my life. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't have the health of my friends and family in my hands. That's just never been the case. And so this virus is teaching me a little bit of reality, and it's really humbling to realize that I've never been in control. And so one of the Psalms that I really have held on to is Psalm 68, verse 19. It says, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. And I love that passage because Satan has use some of the information to make me feel that we are alone, to make me feel that I am alone. But these burdens that I daily feel, or maybe sometimes hourly feel, bring me closer to God, and they help me to find refuge in Him. And I'm learning to embrace my fragility. I'm learning to embrace the fact that I've never been in control and that God always has been. So clinging to the Psalms has been incredibly helpful, and it's forcing me to not worry about tomorrow. So while I cling to the scriptures, another area that has been super helpful is just praying. And I just want to say that I'm praying for you all. I know there's so many of you who are out and about still with essential careers or have just different issues with jobs and families and lots of fear and anxiety. And when I pray for you, I remember that it's not just about me. Because normally when I'm in my fearful state of mind, I'm very self-focused. But when I think about you, it really helps me to get out of myself. So I hope that you all can stay encouraged. I love you all so much, and I am definitely praying for you.
Amen. You know, I love my wife. I'm a lucky man. And she really has been praying for you, especially for everyone that's in the medical field working on the front lines. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. And the Massey household is praying for you. But let's jump back in the passage here, because after Martha comes to Jesus and then gets that hope, she goes back to Mary. So let's pick back up. And in John chapter 11, verse 28, you know, it says, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, this is so interesting, because you remember before they had sent this letter to Jesus, and then when Jesus finally comes, when Martha hears about it, she goes to see Jesus, but Mary stayed back. And then here, something changes, and she's willing to go see Jesus now. Why didn't Mary go to see Jesus before, and what changed now? And you can think about it, it's they had known the power of Christ. Why did they send a letter to Jesus Christ that their brother was sick? Well, it's because they had seen his powers. They had seen his miracles. They knew that he could heal their brother Lazarus. But then Jesus didn't show up. You see, their expectation of what they wanted Jesus to do didn't happen. So then when Jesus came back, Mary distanced herself. She didn't want to go near Jesus. Why did you not show up like I called you, like I asked you to, Jesus? And so she distanced herself. And then in those moments when our faith can get hit, and when our expectations don't get met, Satan's always right there, ready to lie to us, ready to just whisper lies of deceit into us. And maybe for Mary it was, you know what, you thought you were close to Jesus, you thought he cared about you, but he actually forgot about you, Mary. Or maybe Mary was thinking, man, did Jesus abandon me? Does Jesus not care about me and my family like I thought he did? And then yet, here, it's something so special, something so powerful, that Jesus comes and talks to Martha, but then goes, wait, but where's Mary? So then Mary, when Martha comes back to Mary and says, Jesus is asking for you, it changes everything. That Jesus intentionally asks for Mary. Well, maybe Jesus didn't forget about me. Maybe Jesus hasn't abandoned me. Maybe he still has a plan. And wow, I think this is so applicable more than ever during our time. Because so many of us have been praying to God, I pray that this doesn't affect my family. And it's affected all of us. Some of us have prayed, God, I pray that I don't lose my job. And then maybe we've lost our jobs. God, I pray that I don't get a pay cut. And yet the coronavirus has affected our salaries. And then so many of us now have prayed, God, take care of my kids. I don't know how I'm going to homeschool them. And then our kids are now in our homes and we're having to homeschool them. And so many of our expectations of maybe how we prayed to God in this moment might have not gotten met. And yet again, Satan can show up in those moments. How has Satan showed up to you? Whispering, you know what? God forgot about you. God abandoned your family. And Satan's lies can become so big during tragedy and pandemic like this. But guys, I want us to cling to Scripture in the same way that Jesus asked intentionally for Mary. Man, Jesus intentionally remembers you. He intentionally remembers you and your family. Remember, Jesus, as a shepherd, he says, I would leave the 99 to go find the one. That, yes, he knows the entire world and loves the entire world, but man, he loves and knows you and loves and knows your family. And yes, he knows all the problems and all the issues of the whole world, but he knows and remembers your situation. And he knows and remembers your problems and the issues that are going on in your life. He intentionally remembers you. Don't distance yourself from Jesus during this time, but run to Christ. Run to him, just like Mary did. So let's look back in and see, what did Mary do when she came to Jesus? Back in John 11, verse 32, says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And if you notice, that's actually the same exact first sentence that her sister Martha said. They both said the same thing when they first came to Jesus. Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet Martha continued where Mary didn't. Martha continued to say, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Mary didn't say that. Why? I think her past experiences affected her faith of what God could do in the future. You see, one of the biggest enemies of our faith for what God can do going forward is what's happened in the past. And for Mary, she said, you know, when I asked you to come back then to heal my brother, you didn't show up. And so I don't know if I still trust that God will give you whatever you ask for and that you're still going to take care of me in the future. One of the biggest things that's going to attack us now is just because how much our lives have changed in the past 2 weeks is if we're going to let that determine our faith going forward, or if we're going to let God determine our faith going forward. You see, not only did Mary have to come to Jesus, that was the first step, to not distance herself away from Christ, but what Mary also had to do was to wrestle through her faith and to wrestle through her fears, not just to show up, but we be willing to go deep and to figure out, does she still have faith in what God can do in her life? Even though her expectations didn't get met in the past, does she still have faith in what God can do in the future? So when Jesus sees this, his response is amazing. When Jesus saw her back in John 11, 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, they replied. And then Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. This is the shortest scripture in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. And yet those two words carry a profound truth. That the strength of Jesus, the warrior king Jesus, who has all authority in heaven on earth, defined in this God-man, can weep and connect and empathize with us. And that our troubles, he feels them. And he connects with our troubles. And he wept for Mary. It's amazing. Who is our King Jesus? Who is this guy? And yet, if we understand Mary and Martha in the backgrounds, I think it just unlocks so much more of this love in Christ. And so if we do a little detour to Luke chapter 10, we won't read it. A lot of us know the story about Mary and Martha, where Jesus and the disciples go to Mary and Martha's house. And Martha is busy preparing all like the meal, and she's going through preparing everything for the night. But then Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening and connecting and getting to know Christ. And we don't want to over dramatize that and make extreme statements, but we can learn something that Martha seems to be a more action-oriented. She seems to be a doer, a worker. She's trying to get things done. Even at one point, she goes, Jesus, can you tell Mary to come work with me? I'm doing this all by myself. And then Mary is a relational-oriented. She's a connection-oriented person where she wants to connect. She wants to bond. She wants to know. So knowing that, let's go back to John 11 and see how the difference between how Jesus responded to both of them. So back in John 11, to Martha, the action-oriented, when she came to Christ, what did Jesus say? Your brother will rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoa. Okay, Martha is action-oriented. She's a problem solver. She's a doer. She's a solutions-based. She wants the solution. So then when she comes to Christ, Jesus knows that, loves her specifically, and gives her the solution to the problem. Your brother will rise again. And then he gives her a doctrinal truth because she's going to want to know what she should do going forward and how she should live going forward based on all this. So he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he loves her how she needs. But he doesn't do that with Mary. No, to Mary, the connection-oriented, the relational Mary, He doesn't give her doctrinal truth. He doesn't give her, try to address the problem. He doesn't try to fix it. He doesn't give her the solution. Jesus wept. Wow. Jesus loved them both so specifically, so intentionally, that he knew what they needed in that moment and came in that moment to love them. Man, I'm so blown away by this because I'm an engineer by, you know, my schooling. I'm a problem solver. I'm a doer. And yet my wife is not. I'm called so much higher in this. To not, when I'm talking to Toya or when I'm talking to different people, when they're going through situations, not just to love them how I would want to be loved by giving them fixing the problem and giving them the solution, but to truly connect with people that need connection first. And to truly empathize and not make light, especially during these times, to not make light of the intensity of the situation, to not just blow it off, but to connect and go there. Jesus calls me higher in this. Because I think now, more than ever before, we need the love of Christ. What do we know? We know that the light shines brightest in the darkness, and the community of Christ shines brightest during tragedy. We know that. And so the community of Christ, it can connect now more than ever. And it reminds me of a Marvel movie. I love Marvel. You know, the kids out there, do you guys love Marvel? Maybe afterwards you can talk about your favorite superhero. But man, I love Marvel. I think of Thor Ragnarok, right? Where it's about Thor, and he's an Asgardian, so he's from Asgard, and Odin is the king of Asgard. And at one point, Asgard's going to get destroyed, and so Thor goes to Odin, and Odin says something that I think is so good for us to hear now. So Odin says, Asgard is not a place. Never was. Asgard is a people. I think that's so good for us. You remember, maybe we don't need to hear that from a fake Odin, right? But one of our spiritual fathers, maybe we need to hear something like this from Bob Keane, right? But God, church, North River Church is not a place. North River Church is a people. It was never about this building. We love the Lighthouse. I can't wait for my son to learn to play basketball and connect with his friends and learn to love Jesus in the Lighthouse. But it was never about this facility. It was about the people. It was never about our campuses that we go to, or our high schools that we're in, or the Starbucks that we meet for a small group or Bible talk. It was never about those places. It was about the Holy Spirit-filled people. And we need to remember this now more than ever, because Christ's love can shine brightest during this time. And I've heard so many cool things going on. Virtual family groups are meeting in different communities up in the Northwest and Central Marietta and West Cobb Smyrna. We're still meeting for family group. We're still connecting. Because the community of Christ does not get stopped by tragedy. Christ's love shines brightest during tragedy. And there's even cool things going on that's never happened before. Just this past Friday night, we had, for the first time ever, an international campus ministry devotional with over 1,500 people from around the world coming together for devotional. We even had Chase live stream in to, you know, to sing and lead us in worship. Then there was also, for the first time ever, an international singles ministry devotional with around 1,000 people from around the world coming together to worship God. Even though this has disrupted how we normally do community, it's opened up so many new ways for us to love one another specifically and intentionally in community. And if you're not part of a family group yet on North River, if you are not tied into the community, don't wait until the coronavirus lifts. Don't wait until the quarantine ends to get connected. Get on nrcoc.org now and find a community. Find a family group to get plugged into. We all need Christ's love during this time, and we all need the love of the body and the community during this time. And so we're going to jump back in, and because this keeps going. Even after Jesus loving them specifically, the story's not over yet. So if we jump back into John 11, verse 38, you know, Jesus once again was deeply moved, and they come to the stone with the entrance of the tomb. Jesus says, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days. Thanks for that, Martha. But then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? What an incredible thing to say in the midst of this tragedy, that they had gone back to the tomb of the brother that had just died in the midst of their hurt, in the midst of their tragedy. And Jesus says, even in this dark place, expect to see the glory of God. Even in all these terrible things right now going on, expect to see God's glory. And man, that's so good for us to remember. Even with all the quarantines and the coronavirus and the fears and the anxieties, which we need to address and be wise about, we can still expect God's glory to show up during this time. And we even saw this in such a special way in our family. For the past 5 years, there's been several of us that have been praying for Catherine Carrico. And so Catherine, the reason we've been praying for her is that we knew her because Lizzie Carrico is one of the campus ministers here at North River. And Lizzie and Catherine are twin sisters. And so Catherine went to Georgia Tech, my alma mater, where we do a lot of ministry. And so we've been praying for her and getting to know her. And just this past Friday, after 5 years of prayer, Catherine Carrico was baptized into Christ. It's such an incredible, incredible victory. You can see Toya just absolutely ecstatic in that moment. Then afterwards, social distancing in the parking lot, you can see that. But man, it was so incredible. Toya was so excited because on the way, she was like, I feel like I'm getting baptized. We were so excited. And then yesterday, we had this conversation. Man, we've been praying for Catherine to go all in her relationship with God, to be a disciple of Jesus, to get baptized for so long. Why did God wait for it to happen until now? And we had that discussion. And we came out with, you know what? God knew that during this tragedy, that we would need to see his glory, that we would need to see the light, that we would need to see, man, God is still moving, that God is still working. Guys, even in months, I don't know all the troubles and the pains and everything going on in all the different lives of people that are listening right now and watching right now, but God does. And God not only knows there and goes there with you, but he also says, just wait for me to show up. Just wait. And that's what Jesus does back in the story. Our last scripture we'll look at, John 11, we'll just finish out the story here. In John 11, verse 41, so they took away the stone. In verse 43, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth tied around his face. And Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Oh, Jesus raised the dead. What could have Mary and Martha have been thinking in this moment? Mary had been mad at Jesus, distant from Jesus. Why didn't you show up when I asked? Why did you let my brother die? And then Jesus had this plan, though. She just didn't know. Jesus, you were thinking this the whole time? You had this plan the whole time? You were waiting for your glory to show up this entire time? And what did this show? That even with the biggest problem that's gripped humanity for all time of death, that God's power, that Jesus's power is even more powerful than the grave. And man, we need to hold on to this now, guys, that God is bigger than your biggest problem. He is bigger than your biggest problem. This is a worldwide pandemic that we are not going to downplay, but we serve a universe-wide God. His power is so much bigger than this. His glory is so much bigger. This did not surprise him. So we can trust him. We can hold on to him and trust that his glory is going to show up in our lives, that the light will come, because God is bigger than all these things that are going on right now. I pray that these things are helpful for you. And before I close out, I just want to do a couple takeaways. Man, run to Jesus during this time, but not just go to him, but wrestle through your faith and through your fears and hold on to Jesus's love. And share that love intentionally with your family groups and in your community. And look for the glory of God, even in this tragedy. And remember, God is bigger than your biggest problem. I'm about to pray for communion. And so if you can grab your bread, grab your juice, or whatever else you're going to take for communion, I'm going to pray and we'll have a time where we can take communion, not together physically, but we are together spiritually. Amen. Father God, we are so blown away by the love of Christ. were so blown away by how he intentionally loved Mary and how he intentionally loved Martha. And I pray that during this time, we can remember of how Christ intentionally sees us and remembers us and loves us. And God, I pray that as we're battling through our anxieties and as we're battling through our fears, that we won't lose hope that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And that we cling on to faith that, God, that you are bigger than any of the biggest, worst things going on right now. You're bigger than that and that you can pull us through. God, I know you're going to pull us through this. And years from now, we'll look back over this time to see everything miraculous that you did. God, we're going to cling on to your light during this darkness. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.